Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next-door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi everyone, welcome back. As part of the basics on economics series, we'd like to continue on the topic and shed some more light on what is driving supply and demand more recently on the market, on stock markets.
Yeah, we had to hold back from going into this the last time we were talking about basics. In terms of the effect of news, media, which is the source for most of us to get updates on the market, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's two parts. So there's the fundamental part that I mentioned in the previous episode. Mm-hmm. And then there's your sentiments that drive markets, which may or may not be linked to the underlying company micro analysis at all.
Yes. Let's talk about the fundamentals before. I think they're easier and more logical to understand. So, yeah.
So with fundamentals, there are different ways of valuing a company. A common one is the price you pay to the earnings you would get.
Yes.
Or your projected earnings. And that links back to how well do you expect the company to do. And that kind of is essentially your valuation of your company in inverted commas. And so that's how you value it.
So yeah, as Rupali is explaining, it's a measure of how you perceive the value of a company. There are various mathematical models to do this, but everything that we see in the market is basically a reflection of this, right? So if your friend tells you that, AI stocks are going to be the big thing, that's because they see it as something that's coming up and the confidence is shown in them telling you to invest in this. And the same goes with news as well. So news would end up mentioning something that they see is doing really well. AI again comes up as a recent example. Technology was probably the example for the last few years before COVID, where it would really come up in discussions. Energy was popular last year, and all of these businesses or sectors are seen to have good potential for doing well in the near future, which is what fundamental analysis basically comes down to. How to do fundamental analysis is something that's a big study, and you could come to Trading Mom to learn that.
So, yeah, absolutely. I think with fundamental analysis, there are so many aspects of it, and I would advise that our listeners, if they're interested, they should enter a more structured program such as your Trading Mom courses and offerings, because you don't want to you can Google a lot, but I think a structured way of learning might be more beneficial for this. And then what the other aspect is now sentiments.
Yeah.
And sentiments that drive your demand and supply. So for example, one example of sentiments is when people thought they were going to run out of toilet paper.
Yes.
Right? So there was no underlying kind of true reasoning that was going on. It was just the fear of running out of toilet paper that drove people buying just loads and loads of toilet paper. So that's sentiment. So for example, if your friends are entering the stock market, or you're entering the stock market because there's a buzz and everyone's saying, oh my God, enter, 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 and you're scared of missing out, that's kind of, your sentiment that you are playing into.
Yeah, I think sentiments in the market are easy and hard to understand. Basically, you could think of it as the snowball effect or the boy who cried wolf, where it's very much based on perceived value or perceived news, not even the actual news around what's happening. So like Rupali said, the toilet paper issue that happened during the pandemic, or more recently, Google lost value in a single day after the whole ChatGPT release happened in November, December. So I think Google lost value sometime in December in a single day. And that was because people started perceiving Google as having lesser value overnight, which is not very logical, versus ChatGPT overnight.
Overnight,
which
exactly.
Is super illogical,
because when last do you remember using Bing, like we mentioned yesterday?
Bing or any other Microsoft tools as well. Now I'm fully on the Google ecosystem, or emails, anything else as well. So it just shows the snowball effect of one person, not an individual, I mean an entity, a larger entity normally with influence, being able to literally spread rumors or news in the market.
Yeah, I think today especially it's so much easier to spread rumors or news into the market and cause a hype through social media versus before when we grew up there was no social media. So it's literally through the phone or text messages which were more limited.
Did you see the news a couple of months ago, I think, about the Pentagon having smoke like thing coming out from the US? So apparently Bloomberg underscore news or some similar such channel on Twitter, which sounded legit with a blue tick that you can now buy on certain platforms.
Thanks, Elon.
Yep, for democratizing the blue tick. But it leads to stuff like this, that they released an image of the Pentagon with plume of smoke coming out, black smoke, looking as if it's been attacked. It was an AI-generated image. And because it was on this Bloomberg sounding handle, news handles took it seriously and started reposting it. So over 24 hours, it became like a pretty big trending image on Twitter, only to know later that there's been no attack and there's been no problems with the Pentagon.
Yeah, this is quite worrying, isn't it? Because if our listeners want to invest and have credible sources of news, then what are they meant to do? Because like you said, news channels picked up on it, who you would typically rely on for news to be kind of validated and accurate. So then what do we do?
So I have a pretty contrarian view versus, let's say, the majority of trading experts, etc., market experts, which is I maybe use 10% of the news that I come across in my decision making. I stay aware, but I don't use it as a decision making tool, because something that really stuck with me was buy the rumor, sell the news, which is a famous saying, but it has a deep meaning behind it. Because by the time there's any news that reaches you, the event has already happened. It has been analyzed. It has been put on the news, produced for you, and then it's front of you. So that's at least a few hours of delay after the event has taken place. So let's say the Ukraine and Russia war, which affected energy stocks quite a bit, right? And there was a rumor for a long time, which people may or may not have acted on. But after Russia invaded Ukraine, after the war began, if you would then want to buy energy stocks, it's too late, because the event has happened. Everyone knows about it now. The prices have already gone up because stock market is quite fast to react to stuff like this. This is just an example. So for me, news is only a way to reinforce what I'm already seeing with the help of my fundamental and technical analysis knowledge. And it's kind of like the final tick mark on my strategy, not the leading
a
factor.
Driver. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a very valid point, because by the time you've, you know, received a message from an auntie on WhatsApp, you know, please don't rely on all of that kind of information. Don't rely on, you know, even limit the way your news impacts you, because all this cry about a recession, you know, it really drove markets into panic. And as we've explained earlier, that it's, even if it is a downward cycle, it's part of the cycle, and the cycle means it, if it's gone down, it will have to come back up.
Right? Yeah.
It's a matter of time. And so something we mentioned earlier, you mentioned, Kalyani, was that if you want to be an investor, be an investor. Don't pull in and put your money and then pull out, because very recently there's been such sharp market moves that if you just ride it out, you would have been left better off than exiting and entering when you thought was a good or a bad time.
Yeah, so I'll give you my example. At the end of 2021, when I would say I had a little less confidence and conviction in my trading decisions, I was part of certain mentorship programs, and I've mentioned this before, but I trusted their advice and went into some trades with some big amounts that I knew were fundamentally good trades, but the timing wasn't great. This is November, December 2021 at the height of the markets. Before, you know, what happened in 2022, the market kind of went through a big correction due to interest rate hikes, etc., which we'll cover in a following episode as well. But if I would have not known better, I would have exited my trades, let's say mid-2022, after 6 months of hearing about all the panic and doom and gloom around the markets. And I would have lost easily 30% of my investment. I was pretty red at one point in my portfolio, but I knew that I had invested in fundamentally good businesses or ETFs, which means that at the time of recording now, I've broken even, and I'm looking forward to now making money going forwards on the same investments. So yes, they have taken longer,
because of lack of confidence, I was dependent on someone else's conviction, which is something that I bring up a lot in my content or my courses in terms of building conviction and confidence in your own decision making. But it is very important to kind of stick through the ride or not kind of have that pressure of becoming rich overnight from the stock market. No one worthwhile who has made money from the stock market on a sustainable basis has become rich overnight. I read a statistic somewhere that only 10% of the day traders who started trading in 2020 and 2021 actually remained in the market in 2022 because most of them were not able to sustain their earnings. Most of them squandered the earnings away on bad trades or whatever else it is.
I think this is, I mean, it's also a thing of the nervous system. So I think this takes, it does take a little bit of practice and you know, practice that muscle to be able to ride it out. It's easy to say, but when you're underwater, it's difficult.
Yeah, very much. You need a thick skin and confidence. I think that's the basis of the thick skin in terms of having confidence in what you invested in, which comes from equipping yourself with the right knowledge, right information. So for me, that is the antidote, I suppose, to all the AI, all the news, all the drama that we kind of see through social media.
Yeah, and I would also discourage people from disclosing and discussing their portfolio too much with friends and family that have nothing to do with your portfolio, that do not have the experience, that to only watch new, you know, you hear a lot of kind of stories about people divulging in too much information about their portfolio with the wrong people. They love you, yes, they're your friends and family, but they may kind of make you question your own confidence, which is a position you don't want to be in while you're in the markets.
Yes, because also everyone has different risk tolerances, which we've also mentioned before. So your risk tolerance may be very different to your spouse's risk tolerance, and that makes you take decisions very differently. And for me, it may have been okay to wait the 18 months that I've had to wait to break even, but for the next person, it may not be so. And it may be okay for them to even take that loss and have money in hand. And that's all okay. Going back to the point of kind of keeping to your own convictions and confidence and making decisions from that. One more thing I wanted to mention was I often hear about IPOs, especially popular IPOs that have a lot of sentiments attached to them, I suppose. These are generally companies that become household names and then they go public to get more funds from the public. And that as well, I find, is a good example of bringing sentiments or bringing the effects of news into the system, right? Because there's one price that the company and the auditors kind of agree on, but because of speculation, which comes from the sentiments, from this perception of the value of the company, that kind of drives it up or down, which I find to be a little dangerous for new investors. So I always prefer to avoid any IPOs, investing in any IPOs, and waiting for at least a year to see established history of a company before I invest my money.
Yeah, I think it's different for different people. I agree with regards to IPOs. It's a very special type of investing and may require some different knowledge to your standard kind of stock trading. And I think an important part here is, you know, I think I keep mentioning it, but diversification, because had Kalyani or whoever that investor is through 2022 not had a safe buffer of cash or safer investments that have not lost money to be able to cover your daily expenses, you would be forced to liquidate. Yes. And so at any point in time, you want to always have a pool of investments that move kind of differently at different times, so that when one segment moves down, some of the others give you that buffer. And that's where diversification comes in, which means don't put all your eggs in the same basket.
Yeah, we've spoken about diversification in detail before.
Yes.
We'll link the episodes in the show notes. I would probably want to end this episode with the note of pricing in and pricing out, which also comes up in discussions. And the way I see it, it's basically pricing in the sentiments of the market, right? So a lot of discussion last year was around recession, the impending recession, and we were talking between us of how the recession is probably priced in already. And when the recession actually comes, if it comes, it will probably be a blip in the markets.
Yeah, exactly. I think like you mentioned earlier, the news that's out there is already priced in.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not giving any new information to be able to trade.
Exactly.
It's hindsight.
Exactly.
So I think anything that's already common knowledge has already been priced in. So that fear of it losing even more money, unless something drastically changes, it'll have to be a new kind of driver of that performance. Yeah.
So to summarize, we both kind of agree on news being more reactive and that not being the best way of making decisions, and to equip yourself with more proactive tools with the right knowledge of fundamental and technical analysis that kind of don't depend on news and your WhatsApp groups to give you the right information. So with that, today's episode comes to an end. We'll be back next week.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.